not last week, but the week before that, I went on a motorcycle trip to the Smoky Mountains. And I was really excited to go. It had been a long time. It had been since the year I broke my jaw that I had taken some sort of a break in the summer. And it was, I worked really hard for that break. I worked a lot of Saturdays. I worked a lot of Sunday afternoons to get to that point to where I could get myself so that I could go on this break. And, I just needed some downtime. And my original plan was not to go when I did, but to go after church on Sunday. But I just, for some reason, I thought about me, and I probably shouldn't have. So I left Friday afternoon around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I decided not to take I-80 because I-80 is so dangerous with all them trucks and speeders and cars. So I took the south route. I took Highway 34, took the back way into Peoria, Illinois, spent the night there, then went on to Cincinnati to meet my Navy buddy, Tom. And last year, we hadn't seen each other for over 20 years. Last year was the first year I'd seen him. And so I told myself I need to see him more often because, him and I, we tend to understand one another. So from Cincinnati, we got up and from Cincinnati, we decided or we headed to Knoxville where we were staying in the Airbnb in Maryville. And we got somewhere in Kentucky and we're like, we're so tired of this straight driving. Let's go see some back roads. So I looked on my GPS. I put in this town. I don't remember the name of it. And I said, let's go here. So we went there and it was kind of fun for a while. And then we started going up into the mountains. And being a flatlander, I'm not really used to what mountain roads are. And here in Iowa, the curves are nice and gentle, and you can just lean into your motorcycle. You go around those curves, and they're just fun, just fun. Fine. I'm an expert motorcycle driver. But my buddy, being from New Hampshire, he's about an hour away from the Canadian border, and he's in the mountains. So we start going up, and the going up was okay. I was handling it. It was the going down part. It was the hairpin turns. It was the switchbacks. It was the 8-degree grades that had me spooked. And I was scared. And I stiffened up. And I slowed down and I started creeping. And my friend and I, we had helmets that we could talk to one another through Bluetooth. And he's trying to help me out. He's trying to give me encouragement, give me things to think about. And that whole time, I was just nervous. And we got down to the bottom, and there was this church, and we pulled in this church to take a break because I was, like, stressed out. Because if you go off the road in the mountains, it's really steep. And it's not really the fall that's going to get you. It's the stop that's going to get you. So we were sitting in this church parking lot and he started to explain to me how to counter steer, how to, if you want to go to the left, you push down on your left handlebar and you'll just turn. And depending on how hard you push, the sharper you will turn. And I'm like, okay, okay. And then he explains that when you go into the corner, you've got to have some RPMs or some momentum. So you got to downshift, get your RPMs up, get your momentum going as you go through the corner. And he explained to me that most motorcycles fall over when they slow down too much. When they slow down too much, they just fall over. How many of you can sit on a bicycle and just sit there and not move? You can't. It's not possible unless you're a freak about balance. but I don't know very many people who can do that. He started to explain how the motorcycle is like a gyroscope of sorts. The spinning tires, the going around the curve. It doesn't want to fall down. That's not the physics of the motorcycle. It just doesn't want to flop over. And I don't completely understand how gyroscopes work. I don't completely understand the physics of it. I'm sure Mark can explain it. And after he's done, I'll just say, But I started to listen to some of these things as we went on, but it was still uncomfortable for me. I was having a hard time. Every time I went to a corner, I would get scared. I would freak out. I would stiffen up, and I just wasn't able to enjoy the ride because I was too scared. I started going across the center line, and Tom would say, like, "Stop it, Kelly, stop it. You're going across the center line. You're going to get hit." I'm like, okay, get back over. But I couldn't go over fast because I'm like, I go over fast, I'm going over the edge. So it was really a learning experience for me. The whole reason why we wanted to go on this trip is because there's a specific road. It's U.S. Highway 129. It's called the Tail of the Dragon. The Tail of the Dragon is 11 miles long and it has 318 curves. And when I say curves, they're not curves. They're hairpins. They're switchbacks. They're steep downgrades. Going up the mountain is fine, but going down is even scarier. And what is even more scary is when you look over the edge and you're like, oh man, I want to stay away from that part of the road. I want to stay close to the center. That's where the danger is, in the center. Because what if another car is coming around and they go over? Then you don't have any time to react. So as I was going through this road, because I was scared, because I was stiff, I wasn't allowing the bike to do its job. I was wanting to take control of the bike. And I should have allowed the bike to just do its job and for me to do my job. And throughout this whole trip, I was continually learning how to enter the corner, how to push down on the handlebar, how to turn and lean into the turn, keep the momentum, how to accelerate through the corner so that I could make it through. Because I did not want to fall over. So I was getting kind of good at it. I still had some things about me that I just didn't trust myself or something. I was just scared. So it got to the point where I could do right hand pretty good. The left hand was a little bit harder for me. So our vacation was over. And we said goodbye in Cleveland. And as I was traveling home on these boring straight turnpikes, I had some time to think about this whole process of control and the illusion that we have with control. And I was thinking how this motorcycle incident, this learning, helped me to understand a little bit more about my life as a Christian. And I was thinking about the times that I get scared. And when I get scared, I want to stop. I want to slow down. I want to assess the situation. I want to try to control the situation. But Satan is crafty. We allow him to make us think that we can actually control things in our life. And when we can't control those things, we become scared. We become stiff. We become jealous. We become angry. And we lose that peace in our life that God has provided for us. I started thinking a little bit about King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat, back in 2 Chronicles chapter, I guess it starts in 16, I suppose, where we start talking about him. But Jehoshaphat was really a good king. And because Jehoshaphat walked with God, Jehoshaphat was able to do things that no other king in the world had ever done before. In building cities, in providing garrisons, protection for that city, how to set armies up. Jehoshaphat brought together education programs they had never seen before. He was able to do all these wonderful things with the Lord. And I want to go to chapter 20 in King Jehoshaphat's life, the recording of his life. And here he has had such a wonderful life, and he's able to do so many wonderful things. And yet, here in the beginning of chapter 20, we see that there's three groups of people who come together. They unite, and they're getting ready to conquer the children of Israel. And Jehoshaphat is scared. The children of Israel is scared. They're froze, and they don't know what to do. And then it says that the word of the Lord came to Jehaziel. And I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, but he was a Levite, and the word of the Lord came to him. And this is what came to him from God. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle does not belong to you, but to God. Tomorrow you are to march down against them. You will see them coming up the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley facing the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah, O Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. I think this is really important for us to think about. Not being afraid. In the book of Revelations, it talked about who is not going to get to enter the kingdom of heaven. There is one group that causes me ponder, that causes me pause to think, that God mentions. It's the cowards. It's the cowards who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Because when people get scared, they don't think rationally. They forget about the peace that God has provided them. They forget about all the wonderful things that God has done for them. And they think about themselves. And they don't think about what God can do for them. I think these children of Israel learned, and I think one of the other lessons that we need to learn, is that we're really not in control. I had a psychiatrist tell me the only thing that you can control is yourself. And sometimes I even question that. If I can actually control myself. But I think that that's something that I do need to work on. Is controlling myself. In Psalms chapter 46, there's a verse that reads, "Be still and know that I am God. And I've struggled with what that be still is. But I think that is this. Don't try to control the situation. Know that I am God, and I'm going to take care of you. I think it's important that we need to learn to stop trying to control every situation. Because when we do, we lose that peace that passes all understanding. There has to be a point in time where we have faith that God is in charge and He's going to control the outcome. There has to be that point in our life that we realize God's going to take care of it all for us. We need to learn how not to be scared, but to trust the process. To learn how to downshift, to keep our RPMs up before we hit that corner. To keep that momentum. To accelerate through that corner. And to trust that the physics that God created to keep that gyroscope, that motorcycle upright without crashing, is going to happen. That concludes my thoughts on what I've been given that I need to learn. I need to learn to stop trying to control every situation. I need to start learning how to have faith that God's going to take care of. So we're going to start the process of offering a gospel invitation. And I want to leave you with something that we went through just not too long ago in John chapter 16. And this is Jesus speaking. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I want to put the Bible in the most simplest terms that I can possibly put it. There was a war in heaven. God won. Whose side do you want to be on? If you're tired of jumping from crisis to crisis, if you're tired of being worried, if you're tired of being scared, there is an answer for that. And that answer is Jesus. That answer is Jesus. And there's only one way. There's only one way you can get there. And that's through remission of sins. Confessing your faults, confessing your sins, asking the Lord to forgive you, and being baptized. Being buried in that watery grave, rising up, being a new person. You're still going to sin. Now you have a helper. Now you have somebody who is going to go to the Lord for you on your behalf. If that sounds like a life that you want, if that sounds like a peace that you want, we're going to ask you to come forward as we sing this invitation song, number 656.